On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Come on, everybody.
What's going on?
You know, a little of this, a little of that. Whole lot of sweet fuck all.
Things a little better after the weekend, man? Yeah.
Always.
All right. If you want to check out, well, you know what? Things were pretty heavy on the Senator's content last week on episode, what did I say?
Well, 265.
265, we tore apart the Melnick video. 266 was all about the Carlson deal, kind of a bonus show on your Friday night. You can check those out at tallcanaudio.com.
Stop being a sporting train wreck and we'll stop talking about you.
You only have one major league team. How can you always be in the news?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Man, for the wrong reasons. Not
honestly,
like,
man.
Look at these guys. They're killing it.
Look at these fuckers.
They're killing it. Oh, no. It's dead already. Stop it. Hey, man, you know, before we get into anything else that you want to talk about, which I really have no idea.
Okay.
We didn't talk on last week, and I wanted to touch on Steve Yzerman.
Right.
Stepping down, which honestly, that's a clear shot right out of the blue.
Right.
Right? That with all that he's got going on there and all that he's built in Tampa, and I think when he left Detroit, when he was, you know, he worked diligently under Ken Holland.
Yep.
And did his sort of his understudy bit there. And when he went down to Tampa, they were a bit of a laughing stock at the time. And I think we all, well, okay, I can't speak for everybody, but I do, thought, well, how's this going to go? And I love Yzerman. He is my all-time favorite player.
Right.
But you thought, well, how's he going to translate into...
He'll be traded out of Ottawa anytime.
into a general manager. And man, he's
killed it.
He's killed it. Right, he's with the staff he's put together down there. They've done some great amateur drafting.
Well, and the job he's done on a couple of Olympic championship teams.
Well, and some of the trades he's made.
Yep.
You know, in his time there,
kept Kucherov cheap a little longer than he should have been able to. Kept Stamkos' number down.
Fleeced Ottawa and got Bishop for Konecker.
Everybody's doing that.
Yeah, that's really it's exact.
Getting live behind Doug Wilson.
But you know what? You look even further than that, right? Not only did he flip Drouin for Sergachev.
Yeah.
He also, if you remember the year before, how he handled Drouin, which was a very sticky situation, right?
Yep.
He pushed him, stayed in the fold.
Yeah.
Drouin had a decent playoffs, right? He traded the pouting bitch, Martin St-Louis.
Yeah.
Right? Who was at the end of his career. He had a decent season or two in with the Rangers.
Well, don't forget this past deadline.
Okay, but wait. He flipped St-Louis for a first, a second, and Callahan, who, while he's injured right now, serviceable player.
Sure.
Right, in a tough situation where St. Louis was. See, you can trade an aging St. Louis for a first, second, and
Do you remember why he asked for a trade?
Yeah, because he was pouting because Yzerman didn't take him to the Olympics.
So fuck you, then. I will trade you and won't miss you. Like you said,
get out of here.
Honestly, that was brutal.
And sign, you know, the undrafted guys like Tyler Johnson, Yanni Gourde. Like these,
yep.
These are...
Oh, and they are still, despite the moves they've made, loaded in terms of prospects. They got Anthony Cirelli coming. They had another two guys on the World Junior team last year whose names escaped me. Like just...
Oh, it totally escaped me.
Insane, though. And at last year's deadline, they managed to bring in Ryan McDonough. Like to
JT,
really short.
JT Miller, JT I think Miller is, as well. Honestly, he was lights out in the first round. He thought, man, look at that guy go.
And you just keep going. I don't know how they're going to fit these guys in and salary wise. And that's why I've been terrified that they were going to get Carlson because that's just what he does.
Yeah. Well, and you're like, and then I thought, okay, you know what? Eisman stepping down, Brisebois steps up. Maybe we can just pry a little more out of Tampa and we can flip them there. Oh, no. Again, more of the naivete.
Yeah.
Anyways, just
so he's
a nod. And as it turns out, he is, for those of you who don't know, his wife and kids were still living in Detroit.
That's
8 years he's been in Tampa.
Yeah.
Commuting between.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
so,
rough.
So he stepped down. He's going to be an advisor.
To Tampa still. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of talk, though, that in a year when his contract's up, they're kind of tiring of Ken Holland maybe
well,
in Detroit.
Ken Holland just signed a 2-year extension.
But could he be kicked upstairs to president?
And that's your spot. You're bang on there. Ken has done a good run. Hop upstairs.
Yeah.
Steven is in his where he made hockey real again after sucking for decades.
Just sucking.
Anyways, interesting story last week that sort of was
out of the blue. And sticking in Detroit last week, they announced that Zetterberg can't play. His degenerative back condition, his crippling ailment, has left him unable to play with the 3 years left on his deal that are the cheapest. He has one of those back-diving contracts that everybody's finding crazy way out of. So you got skin conditions on Marian Hossa.
I have no back now.
You get traded to Arizona or whatever happens there. So
well, Ken Holland, that's who ended up there. So
he announces Ken Holland announces that his career is over. But it's due to injury, so he will be placed on LTIR. Like I said, this crippling back ailment that has put him down. Would you care to take a guess how many games he missed last year with this injury?
None.
None is correct. The year before that, would you like to take a guess at how many games he missed?
3.
None.
Okay.
And the year before that, would you like to take a stab at how many games he missed?
None?
None.
Yeah, okay.
Missed 0 games. And the year before that,
the NHL,
he played
you're on
77
top
of 82. So that it tore him apart 4 years ago, I guess. So this crippling whatever, this horrible back injury that's forced him to miss the rest of his cheap part of his contract has cost him 0 games in the last 3 seasons. So way to go, NHL.
Yeah.
All over it.
So on top. Honestly, I know there was some other things we wanted to get to, but a couple other quick hitters. Did you see today, and his first name escapes me, but his last name is Dodgson. Plays for Tampa.
Jake Dodgson.
Dodgson.
Yes. We are very familiar with him in Leafs Nation.
Who's been, you know, released or they're putting him on
waivers
because he's fat.
Yeah, showed up out of shape,
like grossly out of shape apparently.
Yeah, I'm wondering how, if there's not more to it than that. He's a bit of a headache of a pill. Well, I think it was both Andreas Janssen and Freddie Gauthier missed over 40 games due to cheap shots that he laid on them in the AHL. And then last year he took a hard run at Matthews, stuck his knee out, and tried to take him.
So God bless him then.
We don't love him around.
Then I want him to sign in Ottawa then.
He and Patrick Seeloff will be the most hated defense pair in the league. But okay, Seeloff will be hated in his own room.
I was just going to say then we can't bring him on until after training camp so he can start hurting other people,
right?
Not us. Right? Then we need to bring him on.
Yeah, you don't see too often anymore that guys get waived because they're fat.
Well, this is it. In this day and age of...
Yeah.
And whatever the other quick hitter I had is gone, so it'll maybe come up later, but...
Why don't we move along then to Tyler Seguin? He signs a gigantic deal in Dallas after... Can't be more than 2 weeks ago at the BioSteel camp where he was going on to the media, but I'm very disappointed about how these negotiations are going and I'm not happy and... I don't know if that was all talk or if it was just to fire things up or what, but he signs.
Get the juices flowing.
A new 8-year deal at $9.85 million.
That's fat cash. And the thing is, and we talked last week about Carlson, and the thing I neglected, and I'm not dragging it away from here. Yep. I'm coming right back. Carlson got an offer from Ottawa, and from all reports, market value-ish. The thing that's sort of going unsaid is, and if we want to drag it back to Sagan, is there wasn't the bonuses, right? This was heavily salary-laden, right? Whereas, to me, Sagan, as a star player,
everybody wants
this $78 million, 55 is bonus money.
So what that means for people who aren't sure is every July 1st, you get a signing bonus if that's in your contract. And it means, so let's say you're supposed to make $7 million next year. They could give you $5 million of that. They could give you as much as you want, really, in that
signing bonus. In the two potential lockout years. Yeah.
So that you would then only get $2 million of your salary, right, if they gave you five of the seven up front throughout the season with those every other week paychecks coming in. That would be a much smaller number. That's being done because the league is, once again, inching up on potential lockouts and strikes and whatever. And while the league is on one of its many lockouts, you don't get paid throughout the season. But the teams do still have to give you the signing bonus on July 1st. So everyone wants their money up front, which is new.
And we and we talked about this with the Tavares deal. Does he make over $1 million in any of the years?
I think there's one or two, but for the most part, he makes the league minimum every year.
Right, but he makes
the season.
I was going to say, I don't think, and I'm prepared to be wrong.
Sure.
But I don't think
it could be every season.
I don't think he has a season of making more than $1 million in actual season salary. They're all.
And for those sitting there asking why not just do that? Not every team can afford to cut.
Well, see, Ottawa can't.
A $15 million check on July 1st. You kind of need the money throughout the season, right? That comes in from tickets and merchandise and all your other shit.
Yeah,
to allow you to pay your guys. A lot of franchises can't afford to just go, here you go, all of it on one day, right? Like on this July 1st, they cut Austin, that's coming.
Foreshadowing. Get that in, Austin, before the CBA, because that is the deal.
I believe it was $15 million this year. They paid him, when he came to the Air Canada Center for his press conference.
He had a big fat check in his pocket.
One of those giant cardboard ones you see at the
Adam Sandler.
Folded up in his back pocket.
not tin cup. What is that?
Happy Gilmore. So Sagan's deal, like most stars who are signing now, has that. They're calling it lockout protection, essentially.
Yeah. He's so getting 55 at a 78.
Yeah.
Right? And so, it's just money in your pocket that you're working with.
Right. Show me what you're working with.
Yeah. So to me, it comes down to...
Is that fair value for him?
He's in there.
You still got that going, eh?
He's in, it hasn't gone away.
I wish we had one of those.
It hasn't gone away, man. It really hasn't. I'm dealing with a lot of shit, to be honest with you. I don't think he's the best player on his team, yet he's the highest paid player on his team.
That's the interesting part to me. For a long time, Jamie Benn has been one of those internal ceilings. At 9.5, no one makes more than Jamie Benn. The going rate for top-end centers now, like Jack, he's better than Jack Eichel, and Jack Eichel's making 10.
For sure
Tavares
he is.
Tavares just signed for 11. We got McDavid obviously up at 12.5.
See, I'm taking Tavares over Sagan, though.
Okay. Fair enough. But he's in that kind of area, and he's now making over $1 million less than him. So I wonder if it was worth it to break the Jamie Benn ceiling for $350,000 a year. Sign 9.85.
See, I thought,
either get paid at 10, 11, whatever you can get, or just take the 9.5 so you don't piss off your captain. And
I thought Benn was around 8.89.
Oh, I looked it up today. He's at 9.5.
Okay.
And Sagan is now at 9.85. It just seems like over 8 years, it adds up and all these sorts of things. But it seems like fairly marginal to be breaking your ceiling over $300,000.
I think you can chalk that up to the inflation rate.
Yeah, all right.
Right. Well, there is something to that. In terms of when Ben signed his contract, and now you're looking at a year or two later, yep. Boom, Sagan rolls in. So you're like, yeah, I got to get paid.
So we like the deal for Dallas. We like it for Sagan.
Well, I love it. I love it for Sagan.
Okay.
Right? And I don't know why, but whenever I think about Sagan, I think of him riding the Zamboni nude. I'm not entirely sure why that is. Right? Have you seen that in the Sports Illustrated?
Oh, no. But, okay. I thought this was just you being fucking weird.
Okay, totally possible. Totally possible.
What are we doing here?
No, they, yeah.
The body issue that they do? Okay.
Yeah, and so it's a picture of him, and he's just wearing a toque, but he's, but he's naked driving a Zamboni, and he's heavily tatted, right?
Like
he's,
is he? Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, and again, this is further to me being weird, I'm almost positive, is that picture of when he was a rookie for Boston, and he went into Buffalo, and I think he played in Erie, or where he was Plymouth, or...
Yeah. He was in the States. I can't remember which.
And so the Boston Saginaw. Rolls in. That's Michigan.
Yeah, that's a state.
Yeah, it is. But I don't think it was Saginaw. I don't think they were there. Anyways, and he's in warm up. He's sitting against the boards in the corner, and there's these two girls behind him, and one slaps a sign up saying, "I sucked his dick." And it's an arrow pointing, and you're like, how did you know this was going to happen, right? And you're like, and your parents, I'm sure, are so proud.
But set up.
But say, yeah, well, Sagan's just leaning against the boards, and he's got grinning. This look. Yeah, he's got this look on his face, and then these two girls are smiling behind him, and the one's got her this slap, this fine rip again. I sucked his dick.
Did you see this? I don't remember if we talked about it on the show or not. I don't think we did. Back when,
apropos of nothing, ladies and gentlemen.
Back when the Caps won the cup here in June in Vegas, they're skating around. Ovi's got the cup, and so the group is following him as they do a lap. And there is a chick in the first row with her shirt up and her tits pressed against the glass. And someone has captured it perfectly. A still photo, and I should find it and send it to you. Ovi's got the cup up over his head.
Send it to my phone, not my work email.
Yeah, no, right to your supervisor.
Former supervisor.
Sure. And he's got the cup up over his head, and he has no idea what's up. There's eight guys behind him, all of them with their heads turned to the right, looking at the glass. Just won the cup.
All the players.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just won the cup. Greatest moment of our life. But, hey, look, there's boobs, right?
Oh, I love all boobs. Look at those.
All of them turned looking at her. It's the greatest photo you've ever seen.
Okay, you do have to send it because, I remember that. But, no, the picture would be great.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
Would be a great photo.
I'll find it and send it to you.
Okay.
I think that was it on that, on boobs in Dallas or whatever.
Boobs and Sagan.
Right. Show titled. Actually, we can't because what we're going to talk about next, that's going to be.
That's very true.
Yeah. The biggest story before all the hockey shit exploded, going back over a week now to the final Saturday of the U.S. Open tennis tournament, was Serena Williams getting into it with an umpire, Carlos Ramos.
Ramos.
And she had a point deducted, then had a game deducted, went on to lose the final. I think she was going for a record 24th Grand Slam title. Lost to a 20-year-old named Naomi
Osaka. She had a warning.
Osaka.
Yeah, she had a point taken away.
Yep.
She had a game taken away. So it's the
progression. Yes. I'm just setting it up before we.
But you missed the warning that comes first. Because the warning sets up.
I understand.
All right.
We're gonna get into all this.
Stella, you're cutting my fucking groove.
So she's arguing with the umpire. She has a press conference afterwards where she's not backing down from it, saying I'm not going to apologize. I'm out here fighting for women's rights was one of the things she was saying while she was yelling at the umpire during the match. I'm a mom. I wouldn't cheat. She called him a thief. And this was just, generally speaking, a meltdown during the finals of the U.S. Open, which, like I said, would have been a record set for her. So she would have been amped up as about as much as you can get. What were your I don't know. What's your first takeaway on this as we start to go through it? And if you feel like I've missed something.
Absolute bullshit. That's my thought.
On whose part?
Hers.
Okay.
I'm surprised she's been able to win any Grand Slams with all the line judges and the chair umpires against her.
Everyone out to get her?
I can't believe she's been able to win one. That's my... To me, this is... You have... completely overshadowed Naomi Osaka's first
20-year-old
Grand Slam championship because you were losing and you were getting
she was getting beat down
owned when this happened and so instead of pointing to this and saying the umpire fucked up and I believe he did deal with that on its own But to go, this is sexism, to me, that is, hey, look over there.
Right.
I think this
change
is.
Change the narrative.
This is shameful behavior for what is likely the greatest women's tennis player ever.
Right.
Right. A 23-time Grand Slam champion. I don't know, but I'm sure there's countless other WTA tournaments.
Yep.
You need to handle yourself better than that.
So I'm disappointed that we agree on this because I thought there was potential here for this to be fiery, but I feel largely the same way. As we walk through it, she's getting her ass beat down by Naomi Osaka. Now, this isn't to say that forevermore or whatever, Naomi Osaka is the better player. But on this day, she was getting whipped. So she gets busted for coaching. When you are a tennis player, your coach is usually with your family or whatever
in the box.
You're not allowed to coach. You're not allowed to gesture. You're not allowed to whatever. Now, she gets called for that. The problem, I guess, now stems from lots of people across the tennis world say everybody does that. Everybody gets coached. All the coaches do it, but you just never call it. And we see that across sports. There's all kinds of things that you let go that aren't. But this guy didn't. He called it. And that's where she first got upset. So as you pointed out, that's a warning. You're not penalized for that. That's your first court violation. It's essentially a warning. And she says, this is where she starts to get really upset, right? And she says...
Oh, George is getting upset.
Right. She's like, this is where she first started grandstanding. And this is the one that really bugged me. I don't cheat. I'm a mother. I wouldn't cheat. Fuck you. Every parent in the world is a complete saint and wouldn't. Like, what does that mean?
Not me. I got two kids and I've cheated at a bunch of things.
Right. Okay. My grandmother used to cheat like nobody's business when we'd play cards as kids. Just
listen,
to make
Grandma.
Sure we never
where'd you
won.
Get those purple $500 bills in Monopoly?
Little Dane Cook throwaway for you.
Yeah, there you go.
So now she's rattled. But this to me is where this all started, because it comes out afterwards, the coach admits, while she's sitting on the podium saying, I wouldn't cheat, I wouldn't do that, he's going, yeah, I was coaching her. He is pointing out, everybody does it, we didn't expect to get caught, we didn't get buzzed by it, all these things. But he admits he's doing it, while she's sitting up there going, I wouldn't do that. Well, yeah, you fucking did. Now, this has cost her nothing. It's a warning. So, carry on, move on, no problem. She continues to get whooped by this other girl. Now she turns around and destroys her racket.
Loses the first set 6-2, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Not close.
Right. So now she turns around and destroys her racket, which is another court violation. They take away a point, and now she loses it and starts going after the umpire again. Calls him a thief, and he lets her go for 70 seconds. Anyone saying that you get to... Because there are lots of examples of people yelling at umpires, yelling at officials, and getting away with it in all kinds of sports. For 70 seconds, she berated this guy before he finally said, enough, and took the game. Which is the next escalation, right? Abuse of officials, another
third
court
strike.
Violation. You lose the fucking game. So all of this is going on. Now everyone's booing because it's the U.S. Open and it's Serena. That's who they're all there to see. And now she gets to stand there during Naomi Osaka's moment and say, let's stop booing. Let's really enjoy this. Everyone's saying what a great competitor she was. What a great
magnanimous.
You fucking caused this. It's your fault this is happening. People are walking around saying, what? Name any event where you want the official to be the story. She made the official the story. He's doing his thing. Like, this was such bullshit. And to see her sitting up there in her press conference afterwards saying, I'm out here fighting for women's rights. And no, you're not.
Yeah.
You're out here playing a game and you were getting your ass kicked and lost your mind.
You're throwing up flares. And so the thing is, understand, absolutely, there is sexism in tennis.
Of course.
There absolutely is. The pay bracket is different. Mm-hmm. Women still only play a best of three in slams, whereas men go best of five.
Yep.
There
was a woman who got a court violation for changing her shirt. Now, she had a
sports bra on
underneath, and she turned her back. She had it on backwards or something and wanted to. So peeled it off, spun it around, pulled it back down. At the same time, Djokovic is sitting there with no shirt on, talking to people.
12 times a game that guy changes his shirt.
Right.
So
he can do it on court. The women can't. There is a lot of this.
And that's bullshit tennis etiquette.
Yeah.
Right. So I got a lot of time for that.
Yep.
There's been a period of time where Serena Williams has brought more eyeballs to the game than Federer or Djokovic or Nadal.
Yep.
Like, she has been, especially in the States, a huge draw.
Absolutely.
And her finals over the years have been huge.
Yeah.
So, to me, this is not to say that there is not sexism, because there absolutely is. This is not one of those issues.
No.
Does Ramos need to have a thicker skin? For sure. You have guys like Andy Roddick saying, and Federer even, they got clips of Federer going, you're a fucker. He's calling the chair a fucker and not getting penalized.
He didn't sit there for 70 seconds.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. And all refs in any sport will say, yeah, don't look at me.
Yeah.
Don't look directly at me and say you're a fucking liar or you're a fucker, because that is, you can say it. Look the other way.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. Look at your feet, whatever it is.
Because now you're calling me out.
Directly to my face.
Yeah. And I don't have a choice now.
Yeah, and it's your third strike.
Yeah. So that's the thing. If she can get all as upset as she wants about the coaching, everybody does it. Fine. Now move on. You don't like that call. The next one where you smashed your racket, you knew that was going to be strike two. And then you carried on yelling at this guy. That's strike three. You got away with it. You had a warning on the one thing. Just keep fucking going.
Yeah.
You melted down. And men melt down. This is not a because these are other things you read and you're hearing. Women are too, over emotional and shit like that. Fuck that. All kinds of athletes melt down. They yell at officials. They do whatever. But that's what happened here. She wasn't centered out about being a woman, any of that shit. She was getting beat and she lost her mind. And she fucking ruined Naomi Osaka's moment.
Yep. And the thing is, if you look at, she's had similar incidents like this at the U.S. Open. 04, 09, 11, she had absolute meltdowns.
Right.
What do they all have in common? She lost those matches.
Yeah.
Right? 04 to Capriati, 09 to Clijsters, 11 to Sam Stosur in the final. These are all either fourth, quarter, finals.
Yeah.
These are all huge matches that she's not winning.
Right.
Now, in a couple of them, bullshit calls.
Like, okay.
Absolute bullshit. Yep, for sure it is. For sure it is. And here, the beauty is, in all three of them, the issue was with female chairs.
Well, there's a clip that someone put right under the ESPN link that I was reading from where someone was quoted that Serena would never do this. Someone puts a video clip right under it, the first comment that is her screaming at a woman line judge saying, I'm going to fucking shove this ball down your fucking throat.
A Japanese woman.
Yeah.
Karabuchi, something like that.
Sure.
Yep. And that's, and there's another.
She's an athlete. You get upset.
Yep.
You do it.
There's another clip where she's threatening an opponent who has said something to her. And the woman escapes me, but she's saying, you don't know me. I'll see you in the change room afterwards.
Oh, fuck.
Right? Like, this is, she's had a boatload of issues. And again, to me, I get it. I've played sports. I've actually assaulted officials. It happens.
This week.
Yes. Shit happens. Like, yeah. It actually does.
Yeah. Heat of the moment, you're...
Don't distract from the actual issue.
Right.
Which is your behavior.
Because she is a role model for women. She has done a lot for women's rights. All those things are true, but this wasn't the time to play that card.
Well, and people saying, yeah, you know, look at men, they do whatever. And you go, yeah, just this year, Nick Kyrgios and Fabio Fognini,
right.
Both those guys have had points taken away from them,
mm-hmm.
right? In the very recent past, you've got guys like Grigor Dimitriev, and David Nalbandian. Dimitriev had a game taken from him. Nalbandian was thrown out of a tournament
right.
and suspended for two Grand Slam finals
right.
due to conduct contrary to the sport.
Yeah.
Right? John McEnroe, that people say, oh, look what McEnroe yeah. did. Look what McEnroe out. Did.
He was disqualified.
He was disqualified from the Australian Open, like thrown yeah. right out of the tournament.
Yeah.
Right? And then you know that famous clip where he's saying, answer the question.
Yes.
Answer the question, jerk.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, jerk. Late 70s, tough guy talk. Right? He lost the game for that.
Right.
Like, this shit happens.
Yep.
Right? To me, it's three strikes. Don't pull the cloak of sexism over you.
No.
Right? There is sexism. Yes. This just isn't
it. This wasn't it. No, I agree with you. And it's been unbelievable to watch. I'm anything but a tennis hardcore. I know you're not either, but you're certainly more aware of it than I am. But in going through, watching what happened and reading everything, you're around sports long enough to just go, no, that is clearly an athlete getting her ass beat and losing her mind over it. Because this was supposed to be the moment. I'm at home. It's the U.S. Open. I'm going to set this record. Everyone who was defending her, everyone who's been jumping up and down are members or like American writers. Tennis USA or whatever the hell their organization is called. ESPN, who is broadcasting it.
The USTA.
She is their cash cow. And this was supposed to be the moment. And they were going to do it at the US Open, right? It wasn't going to be over at Wimbledon.
This magic moment.
It wasn't going to be at the Australian Open.
The French.
They were going to get this done. And she lost it. And instead of just losing with grace... And I'm not expecting her to do that because lots of athletes lose their mind.
Well,
but you don't get to make that excuse.
And I read a great article in the USA Today, which actually highlighted a pile of the moments that I just drew out. Right, it was very negative.
Yeah.
The byline was, you know, when are you going to stop?
Right.
Right. So it was a very critical article of him and saying you are the greatest woman.
But the ESPN broadcast couldn't have been any more.
Yep.
Backing her. The head of the USTA,
yep.
Women's US, Christina Anderson, I think her name is, was up there saying that this was ridiculous and this umpire. He is now umpiring this past weekend, the Davis Cup between US and Latvia, I believe it was.
Oof,
and there's photos of her and a video of her having to go and apologize because as the facts start to come out and this becomes more and more, she went up to him and said, yeah, all right, I kind of, oops. Now, maybe that's just because.
Well, I want to see that. I want to see that clip. Where is that clip?
He's about to umpire this match against the USA. Maybe you want to, but the international tennis community seemed to be far more level-headed on this, saying, yeah, you know what? People do get away with the coaching thing. That's what started this, but she still had ample opportunity to move on from it. And man, it's a mess. And it makes me crazy that, you know, you're going to just pull that card.
Yeah. And Ramos has a record, right? They were talking about incidents where he's penalized Nadal and Djokovic.
Yep.
And yet let their opponents in the same matches go unchecked with the same issues.
Okay.
Right. And you go, yeah, he's a bit of a fucker. I think that's, there's a given. But he has a long history of being a stickler.
Right.
You knew the guy. And she even said afterwards, yeah, he's a tough but fair
right.
umpire normally. Right. So you know who you're dealing with. Right.
Yeah.
You and I have both played sports at differing high levels.
Yeah.
Right. You know certain guys you can get away with certain stuff.
Yep.
Right? And there's guys you don't push.
Yeah, and you see that. You talk about this, you know, you and I, hockey guys, more than anything else. you know, this referee is a little tighter on slashing than the next guy. This guy will let a more physical game go. This, know what's up. Know who the ump is. And
you're out here in the street and you don't even know
what. Even if you fucking disagree, he is the guy today. When you're out here and you're not happy, you can put all your focus and attention on him and have this kid beat the shit out of you, right? Or you can focus on your opponent, go, fuck, okay, didn't like that call, but it hasn't cost you anything yet.
And I'm getting whistled.
Right. That cost you.
There's a T and an L in there, not whistled.
Whistle.
Whistled. Yeah, it's
so, it's something, man. That was.
No, okay, all right. And before we move off of this, you've seen the cartoon. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, and to me, that's people again saying, and see that? Well, that's got nothing to do with the actual incident.
Right.
You can like or dislike the actual cartoon published in the Herald, but don't confuse that with the issue.
Right.
With what happened.
Well, maybe you should explain for our listeners.
So it's a caricature, first of all, which people need to understand. The guy who did the article and the cartoon whose name escapes me.
He's taking a beating, though.
He is absolutely taking a beating. But you know what? To me, that's when you do these satirical sort of things.
Yeah, not everybody's going to love it.
Yeah, not everyone's going to love it. And so it's this black woman, which is clearly Serena, stomping up and down, right? And her features, big lips, are totally exaggerated.
Yeah.
Huge breast and booty. It's just, it's taking all of those, you know, African-American features and putting them on steroids, right?
Right.
And then there's the ump talking to this skinny, blonde, ponytailed girl saying, could you just not let her win?
Yeah.
Now,
and that is the problem for Serena here, right, is even if she doesn't play that card, would not obviously wouldn't have played it like that, or this, someone else will. Even if she stands there and just goes, you know what, I lost my composure and someone else beat me today, someone else will make it about race, will make it about gender, will always cloud these sorts of things, no matter how she had handled it. But that is always the, and I know there's people listening right now, and I get it, that are saying, it's two white guys sitting here commenting on the struggles of a black woman. I understand. I don't know what that's like to live every day, but I know how this comes across to some people. You haven't lived those experiences. You don't understand how those things get framed when that's what you've lived through. I understand sports, and I know what it looks like when an athlete's getting beat.
We're talking with the cartoon, and we're talking about
well, a little her. I'm kind of coming back to her,
okay.
Right?
See, because the thing is here, and I'm going to cut you short right there, because you and I both coach women's sports,
yep.
Right? I work with women managers and predominantly coworkers, right?
Right.
I work in a female-dominated industry. All my supervisors, all my bosses, right? And I coach women's sports. And the beauty of this is I coach the women the same way I coach the men.
Right.
I coach athletes. That's it.
Right.
I don't see the whole, oh, you can't do that because you're a woman. So you and I are both looking at this.
Yes.
As an athlete. She's an athlete. I don't care if she's
right.
a man
or
a woman.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what her life experiences have caused her to frame things as. I don't, but I know what it looks like when an athlete's getting beat and loses it. And that's what I saw.
Right. And the beauty of this is the whole thing, I referenced the 04, the 04 loss where she blew up against Capriati. She was totally jobbed.
Yeah.
This was a female umpire who overruled and three in shots in one game.
Right.
Right? Essentially giving the game to Capriati that Serena lost. Like, she was totally hosed. And to me, in that case, that's a woman jobbing a woman.
Yeah.
But she's jobbing a black woman at that point.
Okay.
In my opinion, not loving what the Williams are bringing and I'm going to show these people.
Right.
Yeah. And that was actually when they brought in the electronic system.
Seeing eye or whatever.
The Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
Yeah. That's the example. That's the game they cite was the Serena Williams, Jennifer Capriati. So, I get that too.
Yeah.
She's had to fight an incredible uphill battle.
Right.
But not as a woman in the industry, as a black woman, as a strong, brash black woman.
Yeah.
I get all that. What we saw at the U.S. Open in 2018 here, that's an athlete who's getting whipped.
Just got melted down. That was it.
You got it, man. Your point is valid and well struck, my friend.
I appreciate
it's as
that.
Strong as you are handsome.
Oh, nuts.
I didn't say fit.
Yeah. I think that's all I got on this one, man. I think there'll be feedback on this one. This
Bring has it. Been, Whatever you got. Yeah. Step to me.
We'll wrap this one up. You can follow us and let us know what you think on Twitter at TallKaneAudio or Facebook.com/TallKaneAudio. Hit the archives at TallKaneAudio.com.
Strong opinions. Strong opinions.
And we'll catch you all on the next one.
See ya.
You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.